Well, good morning, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us again this morning on this beautiful day. This is the day that the Lord has made, and in it we'll rejoice and be glad. You know, God loves you because you're alive today. You've got another opportunity to experience Him right here, right now. As we get into the Word this morning, I want us to pray. I want you to commit this time in the hands of the Lord. Pray for yourself. Pray for the spirit of wisdom. Pray for the spirit of revelation. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you this morning for your grace. We thank you for your faithfulness, for allowing us to come together this morning in this manner. We commit our hearts to you, Lord. We pray that you'd speak to us. We pray that what you have in store for us can be made so clear and plain to us. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for your presence right here. We honor you, Father, and give you praise. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Well, I'm excited again that today we are coming together under the ministry of the Word. You know, the Bible talks about how the Word of God brings light. It brings understanding to those of a simple heart. So as we get into the Word this morning, I want you to approach the Word of God with a simple heart so that you can experience life in the name of Jesus. Amen. I want to just continue from where we started off last week. If you are not with us, I want to encourage you to go onto our website, godchurchpretoria.co.za. You will be able to see the first section of this series entitled Glory Dispensers. So last week we started on this brand new series entitled Glory Dispensers. And we explored a little bit the aspect of becoming glory dispensers. We looked at the principle of a dispenser. You remember we were holding this dispenser that people are using these days to sanitize people's hands as they walk into shops. We went to explore the life of Paul as a glory dispenser, where Paul was saying that he was called by God for the Gentiles. So Paul was telling us that God called him and he gave him a revelation of the mystery that was hidden to many so that he can become an instrument to the Gentiles. Now, as we get going this morning, one would think that every child of God is a glory dispenser. And I don't think that assumption is far-fetched, because the moment you are a child of God, one of our purposes of being children of God is to worship Him, and in so doing, bringing pleasure unto God by living according to His ways. Every child of God has to live a life that brings honor, that brings glory to his Maker. Unfortunately, it's not as easy. It's not as automatic as that. One of the reasons why it's not easy for each one of us to become glory dispensers, it is because there is an enemy called Diabolos. There is an enemy called Devil, the father of lies. You would know that before Lucifer was cast down on earth, he was one of the archangels in heaven responsible for leading praise and worship. And we are told in the Bible that at some point, pride rose up inside of him. And then he thought, why am I not glorified like the King of Glory? And that was the downfall of Lucifer. Now he was kicked out of heaven. He came down on earth, and when he came down on earth, his mission has been to cause chaos. It has been to steal all the glory that is meant to God, to the Father. If he cannot steal the glory, he tries to tarnish the name of God. That is why the moment somebody rises up and they say to themselves, I want to be used by God for his glory, something in the devil rises up and they become a target. And many of you who have decided to live a glorious life, you've realized that you are involved in this cosmic battle that takes place in the heavenly places. And some of the fights that you find yourself in has nothing to do with you. It is because you have decided to glorify the King of Glory. Let's talk about Job. Everything was going well for Job. He was rich. He was doing well as a family. He had a great family. He had great businesses. And then all of a sudden, all hell broke loose. Yes, literally, all hell broke loose because he started losing his children. He lost his wealth, and he lost even his health. What was happening here? It had nothing to do with Job. It was because there was some conversation that took place somewhere in heaven, and then Job was implicated. That is why we've got to be very careful the moment we tread on this zone of saying, Lord, use me to dispense your glory. You've got to be alert. That is why the Apostle Peter says, be alert and be sober, for the devil, your adversary, is roaring around seeking whom he may devour. You see, somebody says, a dog will not run after a stationary vehicle. A dog will not run after a stationary wheel. But the moment the wheel goes into motion, that dog feels like, ooh, it's something to run after. And the moment you rise up and you start running with the glory of God, what happens is that the enemy will focus on you because they want to bring you down. But praise be to the Son of the living God, the one who says, yeah, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Do not allow cosmic battles to stop you from pursuing to become a glory dispenser, because the benefit, the reward is beyond one's comprehension when you become a glory dispenser. Hallelujah. Now, this morning, I want to talk about another aspect of the glory of God. One of the aspects of the glory of God is this: the glory is the manifest presence of God. That is one of the dimensions of the glory of God. The manifest presence of the presence of God. The manifest presence of God is one of the dimensions of the glory of God. And guess what? The glory of God is transferable. The presence of God is transferable to each and every one of us. Now, this morning, I want to talk to you on the subject matter, glory chasers. Glory chasers. You see, I've come to realize, and even it's alluded to in one of the letters by Paul to his son Timothy, where Paul was saying to Timothy, flee from youthful lust. Run away from youthful lust. And I've come to realize that in the life of every believer, you are running away from something, at the same time, running towards something. Glory be to God. We are running away from temptation. We are fleeing away from what the enemy is trying to entice us with. And we are running towards salvation. We are running towards the Almighty God. And now this morning, I'm saying one of the things that we should be running after, one of the things that we should be pursuing as every child of God, it is the glory of God. So this morning, I want to talk about glory chasers, people who are pursuing the glory of God. Last week we said you cannot give what you don't have. And therefore, if you do not have the glory inside of you, it is not possible for you to dispense of the glory of God. Hallelujah. So every glory dispenser has to be a glory chaser. You've got to pursue the glory of God with everything that is within you. And because God has wired you in a certain way, the day that you make up your mind to pursue after the glory of God, you will be able to apprehend it. That is why Paul says in one of the letters, he's saying that I haven't apprehended that which Christ has apprehended me for. In other words, he's saying, I know I will lay hold of it, but as for now, I might have a portion of it, but I haven't laid hold of everything. Same applies with the glory. We will experience a portion of the glory right here on earth, but the fullness of the glory of God will be seen the day that we enter the new heaven and the new earth. Hallelujah. Glory chasers, I want you to know, the day that you decide to pursue and run after the glory of God, you will see the glory of God being manifest in your life. Hallelujah. Now, this dimension of the glory of God is something that we need to understand. It is something that we need to have an appreciation of what the presence of God is. So briefly, I want to just take you through around the presence of God, the manifest presence of God, the manifest presence of God. Look at this. The glory of God is seen in his manifest presence. So that's one dimension of the presence of God. the abiding presence of God, the Shekinah glory of God, hallelujah, the glory that comes upon somebody's life and their life is totally changed. In Exodus chapter 40, I'm going to show you a couple of scriptures of when the presence of God is manifesting, when the Shekinah glory of God is manifesting, when God is inhabiting and he's amongst his people, there are tangible things that we saw in the Old Testament and that we could see in the New Testament. In Exodus 40, the presence of God was displayed in such a physical manifestation. You remember God gave Moses a whole instruction on how to build a tabernacle. And Moses went into his strength and ability and the availability of resources, and he started building the tabernacle. Now, when they had finished building the tabernacle, we have this scenario that took place in Exodus 40, verse 34. The Bible says, when all has been said and done and they were there in the presence of God, then the cloud covered the tabernacle of meeting. So in this instance, the presence of God came in the form of a cloud. The cloud covered the tabernacle of meeting and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. The cloud came, the glory filled. So the cloud was the manifestation of the presence of God. And Moses was not able to enter the tabernacle of meeting because the cloud rested above it and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. The glory of the Lord filled the temple. I wish we could all experience such tangible presence of God. And I believe God does that from time to time. The question is, are we aware? Do we pay attention when the glory of God comes? You will see a lot of manifestations of the presence of God right through the Old Testament. If you go to Leviticus 9 from verse 22 to 24, during the time of sacrifice, the Bible says, and the Lord came down, he answered by fire, and the fire came down from heaven and consumed the sacrifice. What a way of manifesting his glory. I'm reminded of King Solomon. After Solomon had built the house of God, the more permanent structure for God, He dedicated the temple to God. He made powerful prayers. That is where we see powerful prayers like, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray. You see, God was now answering to the time of dedication, to the time of prayer. Look with me here, 2 Chronicles 7 from verse 1 to 2. The Bible says here, when Solomon had finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. The glory of the Lord filled the temple. And the priests could not enter the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. I wish the glory, the fire of God would appear to his people these days more and more. I want you to know that when the fire of the presence of God comes upon a congregation, sin is burned away. Passions that are not of God are taken away. There are things that happen when the fire of God consumes a local church. And it is my prayer, it is my desire that as God church, we could be consumed by the presence of God, that anything that is not of God is burnt away. Glory be to God. You might think it was just a phenomenon in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, from time to time, we'd see the glory of God manifesting. The one that stands out for me is what happened on the day of Pentecost. The Bible says the disciples were gathered in the upper room. And in that place, they started praying in anticipation of the glory of God. And look what happened in Acts 2, verse 1. The Bible says, and in the fulfilling of the day of Pentecost, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly, a sound came out of the heaven as borne along by the rushing of a mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And tongues as of fire appeared to them, being distributed. And it set upon each of them, and they were all filled of the Holy Spirit, and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them utterance. You see, something happened here. The Holy Spirit came down, and that was the glory of God manifesting itself. The Holy Spirit came, and there was thunder, there was shaking, there was fire coming down, and the Bible tells us that was the fulfilling of the prophetic word about the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. What a magnificent way of God showcasing His presence to His people. Now, when you look at all of these manifestations and how dramatic they are, it is possible for you and I to have a sense of, well, can I really attain to that? Can I really experience such presence of God in my life? I want you to realize this morning, this is not for the few. This is not just for the elect. It is for every believer, every child of God to experience the manifest presence of God. Why am I saying this? It is in your makeup. It is in your design. The way God designed you was for you to have the capacity to contain His glory. Hallelujah. Did you know that? That you can contain the glory of God. You can contain the very presence of God in your life. God made us with the capacity to contain His very glory and His presence. Why am I saying this? You could see that in the Old Testament, the glory of God will be seen more and more in the tabernacle, in the tent of the meeting, in the temple of God. Now the Bible then comes into the New Testament believer and it says, you know what? We're going to take it to another level. I'm not just concerned about the four walls called the temple, but I want to make you flesh and blood into becoming my temple. Hallelujah. Look with me, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. The Bible says here, verse 19, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought by something precious. You were bought by the blood of the Lamb. And the reason why you are acquired in such a manner is so that your body can be owned by God as His temple. Now, the glory of God was manifested in the temple that was physical, that was built out of mortar and all sorts of materials. But now God is saying, in this flesh and blood instrument, I want my glory to be manifest because you're my temple. That is why I'm saying each one of you, each one of us here have got the capacity to carry the presence of God. Hallelujah. That is so exciting. It means that when I want to walk in His glory, when I want to walk in His presence, it is possible for me to lay hold of the glory of God. It is possible for me to lay hold of the manifest presence of God. The question is, how do we lay hold? How do we chase? How do we run after the glory of God? How do we run after the presence of God? How do we apprehend this very unique manifestation of God? And I want you to know the Bible gives us so many ways and principles that if we walk in them faithfully, we'll be able to apprehend the glory of God. We'll be able to walk in the presence of God. And I cannot cover everything, but today I want to cover just one aspect of how you and I can chase after the glory of God. Are you ready for this? Allow me to say to you today that glory chasers catch the glory through prayer. I wish it gets easier than that. Glory chasers catch the glory through prayer, which means that the day that somebody decides to be a prayer warrior, they are in the vicinity of the glory. The presence of God is not far away from those who are found on their knees. The presence of God is not far away from those who spend long times in prayer. Glory be to God. There is no better way to catch the presence of God than abiding in Him through prayer. Prayer is simply fellowship and communing with God, conversation with God, a two-way process where you speak to God and God speaks back to you. Are you ready to experience another dimension of the presence of God? If you are ready, you better be ready for prayer. You better be ready to wait upon God. Hallelujah. It is in prayer that we connect with the source of the glory. Prayer is fellowshipping with God. It is the point of connection with the source of the glory. It is like an appliance. If you have a microwave at home, you will not be able to use and enjoy the microwave as long as it is not plugged to the power source. And this is what prayer does. Prayer enables you to plug to the power source. You plug to the source of the presence. And because of that, because you are plugged in, you are able to enjoy the presence. And the people around you will become beneficiaries of the grace over your life. Hallelujah. Now, the Bible shows us that whenever prayer was done, whenever people sought the face of God in prayer, the presence of God would manifest. It reminds me of Moses. We are told of how two times Moses went up into Mount Sinai, where he was busy, he was meeting God 40 days. He spent time in prayer, travailing and praying and praying. And it was in those encounters that God would come down, his glory would come down. And it was then where God would come down and give him the commandments and tell him what he ought to do, how to build the tabernacle. It was because Moses was found in a time of prayer. Again, where we read, it was after Solomon had prayed and dedicated the temple of God that God came down and manifested his glory. It tells me something, that when I pray, I become attractive. I then attract the very presence of God. I become a magnet, and therefore the presence of God is drawn towards me. Hallelujah. If there's nothing to excite you about the glory, then I don't know what will help you today. I want you to realize that it is not far from you. The glory of God is not far from you. It is so close to you. All you need is to hit the floors with your knees. Does somebody hear me this morning? It was in a time of prayer when Moses was up in the mountain. The Bible tells us Moses was praying. Aaron and Hur were there. And Joshua was down in the valley fighting the Amalekites. And the Bible says, as long as Moses' hands were lifted, Joshua would overcome. That is how the glory was being manifested. The presence of God would go before Joshua, and God would fight for Joshua. And the Bible says, whenever he would drop his hands, Joshua would be defeated in the valley. And then God says, I want this to be written down so that Joshua would know it, how he got his victory. Can you see how prayer triggers the presence of God? How prayer enables us to tap into the dimensions of God. Hallelujah. King Jehoshaphat, when he was facing three big armies, he prayed, he declared their fast. Everybody fasted, the men, the women, the children. And as they were praying in the presence of God, a prophet came and says, you know what, this is what the Lord is saying. This battle is not yours, but the battle belongs to the Lord. Hallelujah. What happened there? When they sought the face of God in prayer, the Bible says God came down and he fought the battles for them. In the upper room, they were there not just lexi-daisy and waiting and twinkling their fingers. They were in prayer. The Bible says they were in one accord. They were praying in anticipation of the glory of God. And as they were ready, when their hearts were ready, the Holy Ghost came down in power and changed them and turned them into an instrument for the glory of God. Saints, when we pray, when we wait upon God, there's something that happens. Our hearts are tuned to the presence of God. We become more attentive. We become sensitive to the move of God. This morning, I want to encourage you to think about your prayer life. Are you happy about the level of prayer in your family? Are you happy about the level of prayer in your marriage as a couple right now? Now, when you are full of His presence, you will know it. In the Old Testament, when the presence of God was there, people would see manifestations. When you are full of the presence of God, there is something that happens to somebody who is carrying the presence of God. This person carries the joy of the Lord. This person has got great assurance about tomorrow. This person walks into a situation that is dire, a situation that is hopeless. Because of the presence of God over their lives, they inject hope and life. When you carry the presence of God, when the sick people come your way, you do not pass them on to the pastor. You lay hands upon them, and guess what? Because of the power of God that is in your life, the sick get healed. There is something that happens when you carry the presence of God. When you have the presence of God, favor goes before you. Your enemies will start liking you. Hallelujah. Something happens because the presence of God is a differentiator. It is a distinction between you and any other person who doesn't carry the presence of God. Listen to me. Prayer will transform. Prayer transforms the passive presence of God into an active presence. Prayer transforms the passive presence of God into the active presence of God. Do you know that God is all over the place? God is around. The Bible talks about, where can I go away from your Holy Spirit, from your presence? Where can I go away from your presence? God is omnipresence. Hallelujah. He is found when accidents are happening. He is found when fights are happening in a family. He is found where good things are happening. But the question is, if God is present, why doesn't he intervene? He is there, but in a passive way. But when you pray, you transform that passive presence into an active presence of God. That is when now we activate the workings of God, the manifestations of God. So when you pray in your marriage, God will come down and bring peace where there's chaos. Hallelujah. When you are in a company that is about to close down, you pray, the presence of God comes down, overshadows that company, preserves jobs. Why? Because somebody has prayed and they have activated the presence of God. The more you spend time with God, the more you can see him at work in your life. The more you spend time with God in prayer, the more you can experience the glory that is found in God. Hallelujah. Now, the glory of God is available to everybody. But the question is, how hungry are you for the glory? How thirsty are you for his presence? James 4, verse 8, the Bible says, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. God drew to you already by sending his son Jesus. Jesus came down, and that was God drawing to humanity. There is no higher level of glory than Jesus coming down in the form of a man. You see, in the Old Testament, they could not see God. But we saw God through Jesus Christ. When Jesus was walking here on earth, it was God who was walking around, and people had the privilege to see the glory of God. And now here James is saying, it is now left into your hands. It is now left in your hands to play this ball. Draw closer to the presence of God. Draw nigh to God. Cover time for God. Hallelujah. I want you to realize this morning, when a soul sets out to seek God, God sets out to meet that soul. Hallelujah. When a soul sets out, when you make up your mind to seek God, God will draw near. God will never run away from somebody who is saying, one more time, one more minute with you, King of Glory. He'll say, I want to spend eternity with you. Glory chasers have prayer as a habit. They pray when it is convenient. They pray when it is not convenient. They pray when it is winter. They pray when it is summer. They pray when it is midnight. They pray when it is afternoon. So whether it is going well with them or not, they pray. Hallelujah. That is what glory chasers do. They will pray to God at all times. When you look at King Asa in the Bible, we are given the key here to experiencing the active presence of God. Look at this here in 2 Chronicles 15, verse 1. The Bible tells us, and the Spirit of God came on Azariah, the son of Obed. And he went out to meet Asa and said to him, hear me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. Jehovah is with you while you are with him. And if you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. Now, Asa was given the answer here. He was told, entertain God, and God will entertain you. Create a space for God, and God will create a space for you in Him. Hallelujah. When you make up your mind to pursue God, God will make up His mind to show forth His glory through you. He says here, God is with you whilst you are with Him. It is us who run away from God, but the day that we choose to abide, to be a permanent residence with God, you will experience God like never before. Now this morning, I want you to realize the glory of God is activated by anticipating it. Do you look forward to the glory of God when you wake up in the morning? Do you look forward to encountering God? When you go to work, do you have faith that I will walk with God today? When you go into a meeting, do you believe that the presence of God will be the dominant presence there? When you anticipate something, it is talking about your faith level. When you have faith that I will experience the presence of God, you will experience the presence of God. Now, I want to say this morning that your anticipation is shaped by how and what you pray for. Your anticipation of the glory of God is shaped by how you pray and what you pray for. It is so key for us to understand how we pray and what we pray for. And briefly, this is what I want to just run through to equip you to become a glory chaser. How do you chase the glory of God in prayer? It is how you pray. Moses teaches us a few things about how to pray and what to pray for. When we go into Exodus 33, let's quickly go there right now. Exodus 33, verse 13. This was Moses who was in the presence of God. He was there communing with God, talking with God. This was after the people of God had built a calf unto themselves and they were worshiping the calf. And then Moses came down and he threw the stones and he was so devastated. And then he was now pleading and praying for the people of God again. He was in prayer. He was talking to God, interceding for the people of God, because God had now said, you know what? These are stiff-necked people. I'm not going to go with them. Otherwise, I'll destroy them. Therefore, you, Moses, go. I'll give you an angel to go with you. So Moses was busy interceding for the people of God. Now, let's catch up with this prayer in Exodus 33, verse 13. He says, now, therefore, I pray you, if I have found grace in your sight, make me see now your ways, that I may know you, that I may find grace in your sight, and consider that this nation is your people. There is Moses making a profound prayer, and he's saying here, that I may know you. I want you to know that when you pray in this manner, and you're saying, Lord, I want to know your ways. You are on your way to experiencing the presence of God. Because Moses is saying here, that I might know you, right? He says here, make me now to see your ways that I might know you. In other words, God is found in his ways. When you lay hold of the ways of God, you lay hold of God and you lay hold of his presence. Because here Moses is saying, your ways equate to knowing you. When you know the ways of God, you know God. And when you know God, you have his presence. Glory be to God. And this morning I want you to know that is a trigger for you to experience the presence of God in your life. You need to ask God for a deeper knowledge of his ways. I want you to cry out and say, Lord, I want to know your ways. Show me your ways, oh God. You see, there is a way that God does things. And when you do things in his way, we are assured of his presence. When you run your marriage according to his ways, you are assured of his presence in your marriage. When you run your business according to his ways, you are assured of his presence in your business. Glory be to God. So Moses was saying, show me your ways. Saints, I want to encourage you and I want to challenge you right now to say to the Father, show me your ways. Show me the way that you do things. Because when you do things in a certain way that pleases somebody, that person would want to be around you. Glory be to God. When a teacher tells you to do something in a certain way, you become their favorite if you do it according to their instruction. In the same way, when God tells you, this is how I want you to run this ministry, and you do it exactly in that way, guess what? God will come down and his presence will be your reward. I'm talking about knowing the ways of God. The Bible tells us that our ways are not his ways. His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are deeper than our thoughts. Now, I want you to know that when you start crying out for the higher ways of God, it attracts the presence of God, because you are then able to say, like Paul, it's no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. When you do life in line with the ways of God, it becomes God living in you. Glory be to God. Now, the request to know the ways of God ushered the presence of God. I found this so profound, because when God was responding to the prayer of Moses, this is how he responded. The Lord then said, "My presence shall go with you." Moses said, "Show me your ways." God answers, "My presence will go with you. Because you have requested for my ways, my presence will be your reward. My presence will go with you," that says the Lord. And this morning, when we start crying out for the ways of God to be revealed, he will answer in the same way, and that way will be his presence becoming your enjoyment. Glory be to God. He says, yeah, "My presence shall go with you, and I will give you rest." You see, again, when you have the presence of God, there is rest in your life. That is one indicator of a person who carries the glory of God. They are at rest. Whether there are storms raging around them, they are at rest. You see, when the presence of God is around you, storms can be around you. They won't get inside of you. The shalom of God will be at the center of your life. Why? Because the presence of God is in your life. He says here now, he said to him, this is Moses, "If your presence does not go with me, do not carry us up from here." Man, I'm not prepared to move unless his presence is with me. I'm not prepared to do anything unless it is according to his way. God, help me to do things according to your ways. He says here, "Unless your presence goes with me, do not take us from here." There are many people who are prepared to run for the promise and not worry about the presence. Remember, God had told Moses that the promised land is available, go. But Moses was not prepared to go to the promise without the presence. Why? Because the promise is produced by the presence. You can have the presence. You might not have the promise right now, but as long as you have the presence, the promise will come. Many people have lost the promise and have not been able to regain the promise because they don't have the presence. We thank God for people like Moses who understood the principle that a promise without the presence does not fulfill. Does somebody hear me this morning? A promise without his presence does not satisfy. You need the presence of God in your life, because it is the presence of God that will make sense of the promise. Hallelujah. Moses says, "Unless your presence goes with me, don't take us from here." Now he continues, "For in what shall it be known that I and your people have found grace in your sight? Is it not in that you go with us?" Right? Sorry, and let me go to the next one here. "Is it not in that you go with us? So we shall be separated." Oh, that is so profound. You see, Moses saying, he's saying, "Your presence will separate us from the pagans." I want you to know, the difference between what we call the church of God and a golf club down the road is the presence of God. The presence of God is expected right there in the church. But any other activity out there where God is not involved, the presence of God is not there. I'm talking about the active presence of God now. Now Moses is saying, what will separate us is your presence. And I'll say easier, "So we shall be separated, I and your people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth." And Jehovah said to Moses, I will do this thing also that you have spoken. For you have found grace in my sight, and I know you by name. Saints, I want you to know that the presence of God brings about distinctions, brings about peace, brings the power of God in our lives. When we have the presence of God, people don't need to ask. They will know there is something special about this girl. There is something special about this man. There is something special about this, these young people who are courting. Why? Because there is the presence of God in their lives. Secondly, how should we pray? You need to be relentless in asking God to manifest himself to you. When last did you pray earnestly? The Bible says the earnest prayer of a righteous man avails much in the book of James chapter 5. And this morning, I want to challenge you to be earnest when you're praying for the manifest presence of God. You need to be relentless. You need to be like that person who doesn't give up. Be as stubborn as you can in the spirit. It is okay to be stubborn in the spirit sometimes when you are busy knocking on the heaven doors. Hallelujah. I have a son who's very persistent. When he wants something done, he will not give up. He will run around you. He will come and remind you until you do it. Hallelujah. Are we like that in the spirit? Where we don't give up until we see the power of God. You need to be relentless in asking God to manifest himself to you. Look at Moses. Moses had experienced God so many times. Moses had seen the glory of God. Now you are saying, you know, I've seen thunder, I've seen fire, but I really want to see you now. And then he says, I beseech you, let me see your glory. I beg you, let me see your glory. I plead with you, Lord, let me see your glory. When last did you make that cry out? Where you're saying, Lord, today, I want to experience your glory. Show me your face, oh God. Do you know what type of prayers we make? Show me your hand, oh God. Show me your hand, oh God. There is nothing wrong with the hand of God, but there is everything more about the face of God. Moses was saying, show me your glory. And this morning, I want to challenge you, saints, to cry out for the face of God. Show me your glory. Show me your glory. This should be the prayer of one family today. This should be the prayer of a couple this morning to say, show me your face, oh God. And God did not say to Moses, you're asking for too much. You know, parents who tell their kids, no. You've heard enough. No. God said to Moses, you're asking something great and I'll do this. My goodness will go before you. And I'll proclaim the name of Jehovah before you. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. And I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. Almost to say to Moses, my glory will go before you. My goodness will go before you. My grace will go before you. My mercy will go before you. Can you see it defines the glory of God? He says, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. I will be gracious on whom I will be gracious. Hallelujah. The glory of God is upon your life when you experience the mercy of God. The glory of God is upon your life when you experience the favor of God. Oh, Lord, help us to see your face. And this morning, I want to challenge you to cry out for this. Show me your face, oh God. You need to be that person who knocks on the heaven's doors. Knock until the door is opened. In Ezekiel 39:29, talking about the glory of God, the Bible says here, I will not hide my face from them any longer, for I will have poured out my spirit on the house of Israel, declares the Lord God. The Holy Spirit was poured out on the day of Pentecost, and God was promising him, saying, I will not hide my face away from them. And saints, today, God does not play hide and seek like you do with your kids. He doesn't hide away from you. He says, if you seek me with all your heart, you will find me. Are we seeking God with all our hearts? Matthew 7, verse 7, I'm talking about the tenacity, the never giving up attitude in prayer. When you are crying out for the presence of God, the Bible says, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. For each one who asks receives, and whoever seeks finds, And to him who knocks, it shall be opened. Child of God, the heaven doors are waiting for you to knock. You see, in the Greek, it says here, continue asking, continue knocking, continue seeking. And I want you to be in that habit of doing this continuously. If knocking doesn't work, you've got to ask. If asking doesn't work, you've got to seek. You've got to do everything in your power until you lay hold of the glory of God. And that is how we need to pray. And that is what we need to pray for. You need to be relentless and you need to say, Lord, manifest yourself. Hallelujah. What is the third thing that we need to look at in our prayers? As we chase the glory of God, it is this. Pray that every form of doubt and unbelief be removed. The reason why we don't experience the presence of God, it is because we want to walk by sight and not by faith. When you walk into church, glory, the presence of God is there already. But you are waiting for goosebumps. You are waiting to shake. You are waiting to fall on the ground for you to say, now the presence of God is there. I want you to know the presence of God can only be apprehended by faith and not by what you see. It is by what you do not see. The Bible tells us that the unseen things are the ones that are permanent and the seen things are temporary. And this morning, I want you to pray that every form of doubt be removed from your heart. Every form of unbelief be removed so that when you go into your closet, you are expectant and that you can lay hold of the glory of God. Hallelujah. When Jesus was talking to Martha about the resurrection of their brother Lazarus, I'm now in John 11. This is what Jesus said in verse 39. Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him who died, said to him, Lord, by this time he stinks. For it is the fourth day. And Jesus answered her, did I not tell you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? If you would believe, you would see the glory of God. Hallelujah. If you would believe, you would see the glory of God. You see, Jesus had told these two sisters that if you believe, do you believe that I'm the resurrection? You see, and Jesus was saying this death is not the end. He will rise up. And Jesus was promising them that Lazarus was going to be raised from the dead. But they did not believe. And they were about to miss the glory of God. It also tells me that the glory of God also speaks of the miracles that we see. The manifestation of God when lives are changed, when people are being healed, it is part and parcel of the glory of God. And when the presence of God comes, the manifestation of God is through that. The sick are healed. The dead are raised from the grave. Now here, Jesus is telling Martha, he's saying, have I not told you, if you believe, you would see the glory of God. So one showstopper is when we doubt the move of God. It's when we go into church and we figure out, we stand around waiting for the cheer, for the choir and the worship team to tickle us. No, 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 no. That is not how you experience the presence of God. You jump into the presence of God with full of expectation. You come to the house of God. You sit under the ministry of the word with an open heart in order to experience the glory of God. Let me cover the last point of what we should pray for. You need to pray for the awakening of your spiritual senses. Awakening of your spiritual senses is one way of you triggering the glory of God in your life. Many, many people are dull of hearing. Many, many people are not sensitive to the move of God. You can be in a place where the glory of God is being manifested, and one is as dry as a dry tree. Another one is being slayed in the power. This one is more sensitive. This one is more aware of the move of God. This one is oblivious to the presence of God. So this morning, I want to challenge you to pray and say, God, awaken my spiritual senses. Do you know that in the same way that we've got five physical senses, we've got five spiritual senses. You can smell in your spirit. You can hear in your spirit. You can touch. You can sense things. You can taste things in the spirit. You need to say, Lord, awaken my spiritual senses so that when you move, I can hear you. Glory be to God. I remember one pastor in Cape Town, he used to say, his ear is so sharp to the voice of God that even in the middle of noise, he would pick up the voice of God. May God help us to become so, so sensitive as we pursue the presence of God. Due to time, I'm not going to read through this. Ephesians 1 verse 15. But there Paul was busy praying for the church at Ephesus. And he was praying that they might have the spirit of revelation, the spirit of wisdom. They might have a knowledge of the will of God for their lives. What was he praying for? For the sensitization of the church. That they become sensitive. They become aware of God when God was in the move. Glory be to God. I want you to see here. In Luke 19, something happened. Jerusalem missed the move of God. Jerusalem missed the presence of God. Why? Because they were not sensitive to Jesus being the Messiah. And Jesus looked at Jerusalem and he was weeping over this city. And Jerusalem was distracted when Jesus was there walking on earth. And now Jesus was saying, as Jesus approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it. Does Jesus weep over you? Because you are distracted? Because you don't pay attention when he's on the move? Does Jesus weep over the church? Because the church does not see the refreshing presence of God when he's on the move? And so he said, if only you had known on this day that would bring you what would bring you peace. But now it is hidden from your eyes. They were still waiting for the Messiah. And yet Messiah was there. Today I want to encourage you to make these four prayers. And say, I don't want to miss your presence. Show me your ways, O God. When you do that, the presence of God will be manifested in your life. I don't know where you are at right now. But I want us to pray. I want us to pray that God could turn us into glory chasers. I want us to pray that God could create a hunger for his presence in our lives. I've just covered one key to tapping into the presence, and that key is to become a prayer warrior. That key is to be found on your knees whenever you get the opportunity. As I pray for you right now, I want you to pray for yourself and say, Lord, I don't want to be oblivious. I don't want to be passive around this thing. I want to actively engage in prayer. Shall we pray? Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray this morning for your children. I pray that you do a work of God in their lives. Father, may you transform our church into a church of glory chasers, a church that pursues and cries after you. Lord, I thank you because you are with us. And right now, I pray for an awakening, oh God. I pray that prayer would rise up in our church. I pray for that one who is sleeping in their spirit man to awaken right now in the name of Jesus. May they see the glory of God. Holy Spirit of God, we thank you that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And right now I pray that something fresh would happen in our lives. We thank you for a new work in our spirit man. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. If you are blessed, I want you to clap your hands to the Lord this morning and say, thank you, Lord, for this word. So I want to encourage you this week. Make a quality decision and say, I want to be a glory chaser. Make time for prayer. And I want to invite you all to join us for our Zoom prayer that takes place on every Friday at 7:30 p.m. Contact us for Zoom details. Don't miss out. That is how you become a glory chaser. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May he preserve you. Until we meet again next week, I want you to stay in the presence of God. And thank you so much for being with us today. In Jesus' name, amen.